We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's going on? I'm talking right now with Mark from Misery Index. As he mentioned off the air, he's sweating in Florida. You guys are from Baltimore. Are you living in Florida? Are you guys playing touring right now? I'm not familiar with why you're down in Florida.
Well, we're on tour right now and we're playing the Brass Mug in Tampa.
Nice, dude.
Oh, hot. I'm not ready for this summertime yet, but it's here.
Well, it's not just hot, it's also humid.
Yeah.
So you take a shower and you want to take another shower immediately after.
I need to do it right now. I wish I was doing this interview in a shower.
That might be a bit not safe for work for YouTube, but
hey, for your content, you know.
There you go. OnlyFans with Mark from Misery Index.
Think about our own needs.
This is your big return. Obviously the album's out now, and I do have to mention Complete Control is out now via Century Media, and came out last week. And is this your guys' first big tour back since the restrictions lifted?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we are actually on tour with Napalm Death and I Hate God in Europe when the pandemic struck. We lucked out. We only had one show cancel, and then we made it home on March 9th. And then everything was just you know, SOL after that. I mean, since then we did Full Terror Assault Fest back in August, one show with Pig Destroyer in Baltimore in December. But other than one show in Switzerland in March, and this is the first tour back.
So how's it feel being back? Is it pretty, pretty nice to be back on the road playing, you know, this heinous underground music to people that are, you know, stoked to see it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool, man. It's really crowded out here, actually.
Yeah,
awful lot of tours going around. Like I was in Montreal, we were at Fufuns and talked to the promoter there. He showed me a schedule and there's a metal show like every other day.
Yeah.
Beginning of May and on through the summer, and I was just like, that's not sustainable. You know, at least we're getting it in early, because I don't know how things are going to fare as the summer wears on. They're just being, you know, only so many metal dollars to go around, you know what I mean? But I get it. You know, people have been locked up for 2 years. I think the initial excitement was everyone's going to every show, but now it's like, I feel like agents and bands and stuff are just trying to like get while the getting's good, man. Because who knows what's going to happen next? We were shut down for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Tomorrow it might shut down again for another two. So everyone's just kind of trying to, you know, have their career real quick, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, at that moment, you know, you guys come back from Europe, you're kind of forced to come back from Europe. Obviously, you know, people thought, you know, oh, we'll just shelter in place for 2 weeks and we'll be good, right? But it ended up being a lot longer than that. Did you have to pivot to like have a normal day job, or what did you end up doing to like kind of earn a living and also keep you busy?
I mean, I was already working, managing bands and such. So I have a laptop job essentially.
Yeah.
I was working from the road regardless. And, I came home, I just kept working. And, you know, that was a particular challenge on, okay, there's a pandemic. We're shut down for a couple of weeks. Now it's a couple of months. Now it's, you know, throughout the summer, it's like, so there was a lot of challenges. And I feel like industry sort of came together on what to do. Mm-hmm. Like Frank from Metal Injection really pulled through with the Slay at Home series, made people out of it. And a lot of other initiatives like that, man, like really helped keep bands and musicians kind of in people's minds.
Yep.
You know, if you're not out like playing shows to people, they just forget about you very quickly. Unless you're like a longstanding name of sorts. So that, you know, on that managerial side, that was a big challenge to sort of like get over that and try to figure out like, you know, how and when to get bands signed and yep. when to put out music and how to do that. And it was definitely interesting. Still.
So being, you know, the idea that you're an artist on one hand, and then you're also a manager on the other side, what came first? I'm assuming musician, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it's kind of doing it firsthand and made contacts and friends by doing it.
Yeah. Right on. So, you know, when people talk to you, when your bands talk to you, you know, they know that you're someone who's grinding out there on the road yourself, and you know what the actual job is.
I know what the information on the ground is.
Yes. I hear you, man. So the new album out now, how did the pandemic affect the album? Did you guys have to, you know, what did it affect the album at all? Did the pandemic affect the writing or the process of recording the album at all?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, just to preface that though, I mean, it's easy. There's no way you're not affected by what just happened in every possible way. Misery Index traditionally has been like, we're not a Dungeons and Dragons fantasy kind of oriented band. We're a reality based band, or we respond environment in earnest. And so it is a response to that, and also things that came before, and also the experience that we've had the past couple of years in relation to what has happened throughout history, things like that. So it's not the first time people have been like, you know, locked down in sort of this like anti-democratic oppressed state. You know, it's a very strange kind of thing in the name of health and things like that. Not to say like not all those actions were uncalled for or anything like that, but it's sort of the old adage where no travesty goes underutilized. Many try to take advantage and control the herd and try to get on, you know, if you want to get on the right side of a market, so to speak, you control the movement of people. Mm-hmm. You can predict when that next movement of the herd's going to be. You get on that side of it and then you win. So I think we saw a lot of that going on many facets, and definitely the album responds to that.
Yeah.
Acts to that, for sure. As far as the recording process, yes. You know, we were scared to travel anywhere or get in a room more than one person. It was like, it was all done separately, individually, tossing files back and forth, you know. I don't know if we pretty sure we never jammed a song in a room before. Wow. Record it, you know, because we couldn't.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting process. But hey, you know, Meshuggah have been doing it for years, and you know, it's, you make it happen.
Absolutely. So, you know, being someone that's super tapped into the music industry, you know, being on like the manager and the musician, you know, when you put an album out, do you pay attention to reviews, or do you kind of try to shut that off? Or, you know, how much attention do you pay to like people's, like, you know, a reaction to the album? Cause I've seen nothing but positive, but, you know, well, I mean, first off, it's a killer record, so I'll just say that myself, but how much attention do you pay?
Well, I'd like to be cool and say, I don't pay attention to that stuff. People get, they think, and the lyrics are where they are, and make of them what you will, but sure. That's the case. I read everything. I read every review. I read every comment. I take it to heart. I get mad. Yeah. I get happy. I curse that guy that, you know, wrote that one, like, 6 out of 10 thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but yeah. So I wish I could say that I was too cool for school, but I'm not. I hard on my, I read every damn one of those things and take it all into consideration. So I don't know what else to say about it.
I appreciate your honesty and your candor. I do appreciate that. So during the pandemic, obviously, you know, you're busy, and you were kind of touching on like staying, you know, keeping your bands, you know, active and everything. But for you personally, you know, aside from the band, how did you stay sane? Like, how did you, like, you know, not go crazy, you know, not being out on the road and having a quote unquote normalcy?
Well, I mean, you just busy yourself, man. It's like, okay, we can't do that. So what can we do? You know, you just kind of, I mean, all that, you just kind of, you don't just like lament on things you can't control. You sure. Gravitate things you can and try to make the best of those things. And like, we're survivors, man. I mean, we're road dogs. I mean, it's like, we're used to that mentality, you know, surviving and making things happen and however it needs to happen and finding solutions, things like that, rather than just, oh, it's too hard. We quit, you know? So, yeah. So when all that went down, it was like, okay, well, we were started writing the next record. This is, you know, we signed a new deal just now. So let's finish it. We got some time.
Yeah.
I don't know when this is over. If like, if there was any like forced downtime to finish the record, it'd be now. So let's finish it.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, being, you know, as positive as we can all be, you know, we all had crappy days within the last couple of years. We all have crappy days once in a while. When you're having a down-ish day, what's an album that you can go to bring you back to a good spot, whether it's an aggressive album, a poppy album, you know, any kind of music that'll bring you back to a state where you can get out of that ish mood?
I mean, in terms of like, there's several, but in terms of like metal records, I always go back to, and this is terrible, but I always go back to the album Jesus Satan by Infested, which is a drum machine, death metal, Deicide Worship, Dan Swano project that, you know, no one fucking knows about.
Yeah.
It's Dan Swano from Edge of Sanity. Mm-hmm. Like, it is just the, God, it's like so many just give it to your riff. Head bangable, just amazing drops and just awesome dish. And it's like, you know, the production's not so great. It's drum machine. It's
sure.
Early 2000s or 90. I can't remember when exactly it came out. I think it's early 2000s. But
yeah.
Every time I put that on, and it's got to be at least once a week, I actually do just put it on.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Right on. I'm going to have to check that record out.
Listen, just Infested, listen to the song Evil Squared.
Evil Squared, Infested. Okay. I'll look it up, man. Comes. Oh,
so stupid. And you know, the riff's like, and bring in the double bass.
Nice.
And then the, come on. Perfect.
That's awesome. Okay, so, you know, aside from that, you know, the guy from Misery Index, this heavy, brutal, you know, metal band, Is there anything that people would be surprised that you dig? Are you like a secret lover of electronic music or pop, or like, do you listen to a lot of classical? Is there something that people might be surprised about?
I don't know. I like some like folkish kind of music. Like, I'm a big fan of the Fleet Foxes.
Okay.
Cool. Bon Iver's awesome. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of like quiety stuff, you know.
Sure.
Pretty neat. As long as there's good songwriting involved. I like anything that has good songwriting, good hook support, stuff like that. There's one I really like out of Baltimore, and blanking on the name, two-piece band. My favorite album by them is called Citizen Wyoke.
Wyoke. Okay.
Yeah. They're one of my favorites for sure.
Awesome. So obviously Maryland is famous for many things, The Wire, and Maryland Death Fest in our world. I hear that they are going to be taking a little break from Maryland Death Fest after this year. I'm sure you've been to many Maryland Death Fests.
Ryan, I've known Evan Ryan for a very long time. Ryan and I were roommates.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We've known them for a while. We played the fest like 6 times. So, it's to the point where I had like an MDF staff pass, and I just like had it and kind of came back, and we weren't playing. We were there like volunteering, and my wife actually ran like a merchandise booth for a couple of years.
Awesome.
When we lived in Mount Vernon, you know, like the fest, like walking down the street.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. Still love all those cats. It sucks that like they're so disillusioned by everything.
Yeah.
People can only take so much, man. I mean, 2 years of like having your income shut off, yep. No redemption, and no help.
Booking and then rebooking and then rebooking, or, you know, having all these delays and stuff. So
and then to have the U.S. government just like have like faux pas after faux pas on U.S. visas. And it's just, you know, it's unfortunately what do you expect out of the government? Total bureaucratic nightmare. And it's like, really shouldn't be that way. You know, you should be able to rely on them. But here we are. They're just like, they're over it. It's okay. You know, yeah. Things don't happen. But I hope they just take a break and maybe get back at it when they've like, you know, things are maybe a bit more normal.
So the reason I brought that up is it possible for you to pinpoint like an epic set that you've seen, like one of your favorite sets, all of all your years of Maryland Death Fest?
Favorite set of Maryland Death Fest. And that is, how can you pick one?
I only say this because I've never gone, so I feel like it, you know, like if I have ever gone before, I'd probably be a harder thing for me to even ask.
I don't know if I could give you one favorite. There's been several.
You can name a few. I'm not hammering down a hard law here.
Let me think about it. Next question. Let me think
about
that.
Okay. No problem. Okay. So a question, you know, people will always ask is like, you know, what was the first band you fell in love with and stuff, but switch it up a little bit and ask, you know, what was the first band t-shirt you ever got? Like as a kid?
Very first band t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
No idea. Okay.
I mean, I want to say it was like a Nine Inch Nails shirt.
Okay.
Something like that. Because I was really okay. So when I like first started getting into heavier music, it was a very short list. And I'm from the Midwest, so it's not like we're on the East Coast and we're, you know, like you're 12 and Suffocation's playing down the street. Some dish. It's like there's nobody playing down the street, and the only thing you hear about is like on like TV or from somebody's older brother
or the radio station or something like that. Yeah.
Eventually you find some little nook and cranny record shop somewhere like 35 miles from your house that I have to dig into. But yeah, man, it started off with like, you know, Pantera, Metallica, Slayer, White Zombie, Faith No More, Nine Inch Nails. Very short list.
Yeah.
And then it kind of moved on from there, like Crowbar and, you know, getting into like other kind of stuff that, you know, heavier and heavier. And you start like craving heavier things. Finally you find Cannibal Corpse, and then someone shows you At the Gates, you know, deeper into it. But yeah, so way back when, if I, you know, had a band shirt or something, it would have been something like White Zombie shirt.
Yeah.
Nail shirt or a Slayer shirt or a Metallica shirt, but I'm pretty sure it was a Nine Inch Nails first.
Awesome.
It's like offensive.
So
you're immune to it now, but you see like a Kill 'Em All shirt with a hand with a hammer and blood everywhere. You're just kind of like whatever now. But back then that was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What are you trying to wear? No, my kid can't wear that. You
know? That's some evil-ish, man. So I hate to bring it up, but last week we lost Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder. Last night I saw Pig Destroyer. They set out their set to Trevor. You know, iconic vocalist. You know, I only got to interview him once, but he was super nice. Do you have any memories of like playing a show with him or getting to meet Trevor or anything like that? Anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, man. We know all those guys.
Yeah.
We've toured with them. We've played shows with them, played fest with them. And, yeah, dude, when their post says the Shepherd of Good Times, that was definitely Trevor.
Yeah.
Just, I feel like there's a lot of weight that comes with that. You know, I don't know what was going on with all that. I don't want to make assumptions, but mm-hmm. he was a really cool guy and is a good friend. And we've definitely lost like a metal icon. And I was really surprised by it. He and I were like going back and forth. We're talking about maybe doing like some kind of D-beat thrust band or something.
Yeah.
We had been like discussing drummers that we liked. And mm-hmm. I think that was, you know, maybe a couple months ago. I don't know. Very shocking, man. Yeah. And unfortunate.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me. And, you know, I just, you know, wanted to keep him out there, keep his name out there and keep his memory alive. So I definitely wanted to mention that. You know, I'm not going to take up all your time today. I do need to mention again, the new album is available, Complete Control, out on Century Media. My last question for you, dude, before I let you go is a question we ask everyone. So if you can show us, if not, just tell us, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Oh, easy. Yeah, follow me down here. See this guy right here?
Oh, Jesus. Like, yes, I do.
And then there's like a hole in my leg there. I had a little Honda, like CH50, mm-hmm. you know, little motor scooter.
Yeah.
It was totally fun. And I was riding going this way and another car was going that way. And there was a Red Lobster or something on my right. And whoever the guy that was in that car, man, he just really had a hankering for cheddar biscuits and just like made a last minute, just ruined the nose, signal or nothing, just ran straight into me going about like 40 miles an hour. I was going 35 the other way and just sent me, you know, that's where the car crushed my leg and sent me like careening, you know, road rash down the highway. I landed in a gutter, like a, you know, like a sewer grate kind of thing. And it broke my helmet in two. So if I hadn't been wearing a helmet, I'd be dead right now. But to continue the gruesome story.
Okay, let's keep it going.
I got stitches. And 10 days later, we were leaving for Europe to go on tour, to play festivals and such.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the doctor, I must be 100 times, man, you take these stitches out. Is this going to stay closed? Do I need to not do this trip or something?
Yeah.
And you should be fine. Yeah, it wasn't fine.
Should be.
Yeah, I got over to Europe and the thing started opening.
Oh.
And so I'm walking around with like, you know, a hole in my leg. It's like an inch deep. Playing shows. Sweating the dish. So finally I went to like some German doctor over there at a pharmacy and told the receptionist person what happened. One look at me, he goes, I heard you had an accident on the motorway. I was like, yeah. And he took a look at it. And he's just like, here's some antiseptic. Here's some like packing stuff. He's like, put it here, pack it. He's like, leave that, replace that every day. And then when you get home, go to a burn and wound clinic, have them burn all that so it heals from the bottom. So that's what I had. So they, I get home and they had to like go back into open wound and burn it out.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it didn't heal too clean. But my wow. story.
Good fodder for a death metal song.
Yeah.
I like it, dude. That, I mean, I don't like it, but I like the story. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it, man. The new Misery Index album, again, it's called Complete Control. It's available now. Killer record. Congratulations on everything. Kill it tonight in Florida. Any final words for the Northwest audience today?
Yeah, man. For Misery Index, Complete Control's out. Go pick it up. And hopefully in the very near future, we'll be making our way up to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.